Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Brothers and sisters, we do not weigh and measure the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit of God out in many times of religious activities. People become religious, becomes a way of life. You know, the Spirit of God, when it moves on people, they do different things. I've seen them fall on the floor as dead, unconscious, and hit the floor and bounce off the floor. Yes, I've seen God do that, and I've had God do that to me. But every time that happens, is it the Spirit of God? No. Many times it can be the pouring of the Spirit out on the just and the unjust. And yes, those things could happen. But many times it's not. It's familiar spirits, it's mockery, or it's a thing of people trying to be spiritual. You see, many times the Spirit would move on one to do such a thing. It's just like every time someone speaks in tongues, is that the infilling of the Holy Ghost? No. Many times it's a familiar spirit, a similar spirit. I was in a church in Sacramento, California, as I went in there. And before I experienced of going into this church, one of the headships, and it was a woman, that had came up through this ministry. We was in a prayer room, and there was many people there praying, and I listened to this individual praying, and I said, that's not the Spirit of God. They were praying in an unknown tongue, yes, and I said, that's not the Spirit of God there. And God dealt with my heart. And see, and I'm very careful when it comes into those areas because I would not want to speak against the Holy Ghost. You see, you could blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and you start saying things that are God and you say that they're not God. But then yet we have a spirit of discernment within us. And it's the gifts of God, and it is one of the gifts of this Holy Ghost that is given to us. That we can understand and we can recognize that we're not moved by familiar spirits. What is a familiar spirit? It's something that's familiar. It seems like it's okay, but it's different. You see, a counterfeit dollar bill would look familiar to the real thing. But if you had the real thing and understood it, you would know that it's just familiar. It isn't the same. And see, many times people, because they're looking for these works, when the familiar spirit would come, they would give place and receive that familiar spirit. And in many times they would think. But let's talk about the folks here that we're reading about here in Acts. Here's people that just received the Word of God. Here's people that were just baptized by being obedient to the Scriptures and to the Word of God, which many of you have. You heard the Word preached. You heard the need of being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of sin. You came and fulfilled the Word of God in the Scriptures. You had the preacher baptize you. So you were obedient unto the Word. Many times these things have happened through obedience, and that's good. And obedience is an evidence of the Spirit of God working within your life, bringing you to an obedience. But then yet there's many time religious activities that is done out of a will worship or out of an intellectual perspective and an intellectual way. And it isn't motivated by the Spirit. It's by the intellectual mind. You see, let's talk about this man here. And this man, the whole city was given to him according to the Scriptures. And he worked sorcery. And everybody followed after him. You see? But then yet there was a problem there, wasn't there? You see, many times, brothers and sisters, people are following after familiar spirits. It would be one and the same as sorcery. They're following after things as such, and they really have not ever received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. With all of their religious activities, with all of their efforts, with their time, even in the reading of the Scriptures and many things, they've never truly received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's not hard to tell when a man has the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, if you have discernment. You say, what are the actions of the Holy Ghost? We see the book of Acts, and we read in the book of Acts, and we know the book of Acts is actions. And we say actions of these men. But then yet we see actions taking place in there of a familiar spirit of another kind. We see the actions of religious spirits taking and stoning Stephen to death. We see the actions of many spirits here. We say the actions of the apostles, the actions of the early church, but we see the actions of religious people also. We see the actions of this one in sorcery, how the whole world followed after them and says, can I purchase this? I saw that you laid hands on these men and they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Can I buy this? Can I purchase this? And you say, I don't see that happening today. Many people do that this very day. As I told a man, that wanted to be utilized in finances and utilized in giving. And I said, brother, I owe it to you. You will not purchase your way into the kingdom of God. And God is not pleased with just giving of your finances. He wants your life. He wants your heart. If we think that because we tithe or because we give finances or because we give attendance into the house of God, if that's the thing that pleases God, the thing that pleases God is when He sees you full of His Spirit. I'm not saying that God would not be pleased with these. I mean, if you have His Spirit, yes, you will be in church. If you have His Spirit, yes, you will be giving your finances into the kingdom of God. Yes, if you have His Spirit, there is an obedience unto these things that we do see. But because we do see these very things does not necessarily mean, brothers and sisters, that we have His Spirit. Because there's exploits that could happen through will worship and through the intellectual and carnal mind, through will worship or through reflecting the things of the spirit world and never really have the infilling of His Spirit. You know, brothers and sisters, as we were speaking the other evening and we were talking about religious spirits, and let me say this again. A religious spirit, brothers and sisters, is the hardest spirit, the most difficult spirit to get your eyes open to. It is the most difficult spirit a minister will ever deal with within a congregation or within an individual to get them delivered from is a religious spirit. I've quoted this and said this in times past of something my father said to me. He said many things to me, and many of them, you hear them just for a moment, but some things will stick with you because it's not the man speaking, but it's God speaking through him. And he said, son, he said, let me tell you, he said, the most difficult job that you have is to convince people that they are not born again for that you can get them born again. And you think, well, why would a man want to spend his life in his ministry in trying to convince people they're not born again when the thing is a positive confession? And if their confession is, yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Yes, I am partakers of this kingdom of God. And in here, why would a minister ever want to come against that? And I'm very careful when it comes to that area. I never want to discourage anybody in a testimony. I never want to discourage anybody that has a positive confession of Christ and tell them otherwise. If a man is testifying to you and saying, brother, I am born again, and brother, I know that if I died today, I'm going to heaven, it is a very difficult and awkward place to get in his face and say, I do not believe that. You say you could hurt an individual that way, and I did that very thing just the other night in my kitchen to two men. And as this one man said to me, he'd been around Brother Pike's indoctrination and somewhat around there, and he says, I know, Brother Rob, that if I died, that I would make it to heaven. And I said, well, I'm sorry to tell you this as a minister. I don't believe that. I don't believe when you're full of the Holy Ghost that you're out in the alcohol and drinking. I don't believe that when you have the Holy Ghost that you're doping it up and you're smoking and carrying on. I don't believe when you have the power of the Holy Ghost that there's filthy, vile language coming forth out of your mouth. I don't believe that when you're full of the Holy Ghost that these things are going to be happening within your life. Amen. And the Bible said if evil is going to come to that city and you do not cry out against it, then you have the blood on your hands. Do I want to hurt an individual that has maybe a thread of hope and an inspiration of hope, brothers and sisters, of saying yes with a positive confession? Yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm born of God. But then the Bible also says that they believe a lie and that they're damned. Now see, we can go to the base side of things here, and we can talk about people in immorality. We can talk about people that ain't living right and doing those things, but brothers and sisters, we got to bring it down to the finite and fine-tune things. And many times, it's the people that would appear so right and so righteous and so upright. Let me tell you something, the apostles. Let's talk about Peter for a moment. Here's a man that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a man that cursed and used vile language and stuff to prove or try to prove to these people that he was not with Jesus. As he was there, as he was getting ready to stone Jesus to death. But this was a man also that received the infilling and the power of the Holy Ghost. And he preached. And over 3,000 were added to the church. But look at his exploits. Do you realize that Saul could have said and looked at Peter and he said, if this was God, why did you deny him? If this was God, he could have said, look at my life. Look at the obedience that I've done in my life in the reading of the Word of God and the Scriptures and being in the synagogues on a daily basis. Look at the studies that I've done and the things that I've done. See, Saul could have stood there beyond reproach, beyond failure, where they couldn't have held anything to his charge. But then yet, here's a man that's in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, being Peter. And he could have brought allegations against him, couldn't he? How do we judge these things, brothers and sisters? You see, but then yet Saul, we know, was persecuting the church. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, there's people that you would appear by looking into their life and seeing the exploits and things of their life, you would think, well, this is truly a man of God. His wife is truly a woman of God. Because you see actions of different things within their life and you say, this is the Holy Ghost. Then yet you hear me preach all the time and you're saying, look, if you are full of the Spirit of God and you are a child of God, there will be exploits that are visible within your life. There will be actions. So you say, I don't understand, Brother Rob. What you have to understand, there's a deceiving devil, brothers and sisters. There's a devil of deception. And let me tell you something, he can't hide. A man could say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. A woman could say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And if they're not full of the Holy Ghost, then it's a reflecting spirit, or it's a familiar spirit, or a similar spirit. It is one that is not of God, and it's just religious activities, and it's just religious exploits. It cannot do it. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to live an overcoming godly life of righteousness and holiness. You will have exploits that would appear to be godly and holy and righteous. And it'll appear to be that way. But there will be something else that keeps rising up that you cannot, through your will worship, have power and authority over. And it'll keep coming up. And it's that flesh man. It's that spirit of the Antichrist that's going to rise up within that flesh. And he's going to keep coming up. And he's going to keep coming up. And he's going to keep coming up. And he cannot hide. He'll come forth every time. What's going to bring him forth? Sometimes it's the preacher that's dealing with that thing that's buried down in there. And he keeps pecking away at that thing. And that thing's going to wrestle around in there. And it's going to come forth. And it'll be slain by the Holy Ghost. By the sword of the Spirit and by the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, it's your duty, it's your activity to bring that thing forth. It's your responsibility being full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that there is no room for any other to dwell. When you're full of something, there is no more room to put anything else in. Amen. When you are full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God, there is no room for the carnal things of the world and the exploits of the world. It doesn't matter if you raised up with a religious mother and father. It doesn't matter if you get up and sing in the church. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. Those things don't mean nothing. You have to have the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God. Many times, brothers and sisters, we're guilty of being religious and raising up in religious homes, and we know what expectations are of religious expectations of us are, and we think that that's God and serving God. God is a spirit, and we can only worship Him in spirit. And I know that when you have the Holy Ghost, you worship God in spirit, and you worship Him in truth. And the truth will set you free, brothers and sisters, from the things that aren't pleasing to God within your life. You see, we're not talking about activities, brothers and sisters. We're guilty of judging people after activities in many cases when it should be by the Spirit. Many times those spirits that aren't right or unclean will bring those kind of activities within your life and they will manifest. But we got to get beyond that and see in the sensitivity of the supernatural realm that Spirit cannot hide behind religious activities and religious veils. And He will. Don't you know that the devil himself could be more religious than any of you or me or anybody? Don't you know that through religious spirits that there could be such a faithfulness and such a memorization and an understanding, naturally speaking, of the Scriptures? I'm telling you, I've seen people that's given place to religious spirits that are so fuddled up, I'll use the word, I guess, that are so walking in confused life. And they open up the Bible and they read it and say, this is God speaking to me and this is what I'm going to do. And they're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. Not some of his ways, in all of his ways. When you find a double-minded man, you'll find instability in his home. You'll find instability in his marriage. You'll find instability in his business. If he's an employee, you'll find instability. If he's an employer, you'll find instability. And they'll never seem to have that straight walk in that straight way. There's always a man that would ever be so religious that gives place to a double-mindedness. A man that would ever seem so religious, even though he's going this way today preaching and he's going that way tomorrow preaching. And he says, God sent me here. And then he's there for a moment. He says, and God sent me over here. And many times you never find the fulfillment. If God sends you somewhere, there's a reason for it. If God sent you, then there is a reason that God sent you. And I'm not speaking to just the minister. I'm speaking to you as a child of God, as a Christian. Don't you know that God speaks to our hearts and God speaks to us? If we have the Spirit of God and we are full of the Holy Ghost, it is the Spirit of life and it is the Spirit that speaks to us. It is that still, small voice that talks to you. And if He is speaking to you, He's telling you where to go. If His Spirit is the light unto our path, then it is telling us where to walk. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, when you're full of His Spirit, you will be walking in the light. And when you're walking in the light, you're eradicating darkness. And many times we look at the exploits of the neighbors, we look at the exploits of the city or the work field, and many times it's the darkness and the things that come around us in our daily activities in our life that the Holy Ghost is coming and dealing with. Are you full of the Holy Ghost this morning? Have you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost this morning? Have you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost since you were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you said the sinner's prayer? Have you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost since you become religious or joined a church or tried to make yourself faithful within a church? Have you received the power of the Holy Ghost to walk an overcoming life? The Bible said a form of godliness denying the power thereof. When you have godliness or a form of godliness and you're denying the power thereof means that you do not have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the power to overcome. The Holy Ghost is the power to walk in righteousness. The Holy Ghost is the power, brothers and sisters, that takes to mortify the deeds of the flesh within your walk and within your life. Are we looking for or what would appear to be okay in our life? Are we the kind of Christian that's always looking for what would be permissible? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The Bible says that these words of God and the commandments of God are not grievous to us. Do the commandments of God and the lifestyle of a godly, holy life, are they grievous to you? Do they grieve you to have to do this? Do you feel like you're always? I think of Dell's, I guess I'll say ex-wife. The commandments of God were grievous to her. You know, that's alarming to me as a minister. When I'm working with people and discipling people and helping people and the commandments of God are grievous to them, that alarms me as a minister. I say there's a problem here because the Bible says that the commandments are not grievous. And if you're always looking for what is and what you can do and still feel like you're there, see, you're in the wrong trail. You know, well, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that? It's okay. You can do anything you want. You could strip off and go to the beach. You could strip off. You can do anything you want and dress any way you want because the blood is on the seat of atonement. You could live like you want and still feel the power of God. You could dress like you want and still come to church and you could speak in tongues and you could get the goosebumps upon your back. I remember Pete says before his conversion, he says he was at a rock and roll concert and felt those same goosebumps. What made those? Is it maybe a familiar spirit that puts a little goosebumps on the back of your neck when the preacher's preaching? And maybe it's a familiar spirit and you think you have God? This is why we got to be very careful about the way they preach and indoctrinate what the infilling of the Holy Ghost is. Because there's many times that people will speak in tongues and do those things and then they leave church and say, I am full of the Spirit of God. Brother Bob was talking with me about the indoctrination that his mother and them's under, and I'm very familiar to the church and the indoctrination. And I know it's the Spirit. I don't have to go to his mother's church to understand how they do because I don't know the Spirit. And I know the spirit that's in that apostolic church over in Chicago is the same spirit in the apostolic church right here in High Point. And the same spirit of the one when I was in Missouri. And the same spirit of one when I was in Oklahoma. It's the same spirit, brothers and sisters. And they give place and they invite that spirit in. You say, but is that the Spirit of God? Well, let me tell you, I'll just ask you and let you judge it. Let me tell you something. To be full of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is a daily walk in a daily life. And to be seeking after the power of God on a daily basis and the guidance and the direction of God on a daily basis. But how many times have you seen this message of the Holy Ghost preached and then they receive it and then that's it, they've received and they're there? How many times have you been in the church and you hear the testimony, well, 45 years ago, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. 27 years ago, I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. 35 years ago, 15 years ago, yesterday, whatever it was, I've seen people with a zeal, and I was one of them, seeking after what they say, this infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, this happens. Of the way they indoctrinate it and the way they teach it. And then it's okay, man, I've got everything God's got for me. I've received now. I've got everything that God's got. Do you feel like, brothers and sisters, that God has something that you don't have? Let me tell you something I do. What is it, Brother Rob? It's a greater measure of God. When you have the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, there's a hunger and a thirst within you after righteousness. There is a hunger and a thirst for more of God. Amen. And you want to keep pressing and pressing and pressing in. And there isn't a one-time thing that happens in your life that all of a sudden that you don't have to seek after Him no more or run after Him no more. I know a young man that come to our church here when we was on Fairfield. And he was troubled. And this man had the Spirit of God. But he was troubled because they told him he did not have the Spirit of God. Because he needed this evidence of speaking in tongues. And he was troubled. And I said, this is going to hurt this man. And he come to church and he said, my wife, she went into the altars. And I never seen anything like this happen, but she started speaking in tongues and dancing all over. And then all of a sudden his wife was accepted in the church. She was accepted in the church because of this. But what about after that? What about after that, a life of conformity to the Spirit of God? A life of conformity to the Scriptures? The Bible said that we received His Spirit for we can conform to the image of God. Amen. Is conformity to the image of God just speaking in tongues? No. But then yet the infilling of the Spirit and the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost is for that we can come to the conformity of His image. The thing is when there's a natural blood seed given within the natural womb and that woman brings forth a child, there is going to be a conformity, naturally speaking, to the image of that father and that mother. And you're going to see that. It's something that takes place. And when you receive the gift of life, the Spirit of life, the seed of the Holy Ghost, that seed, the Bible says, that remaineth within you. When you receive that, there is going to be a conformity to the image of God in your life. There is going to be a conformity to the attributes of a risen Savior within your life. There is going to be a life of obedience within you. Do you understand that you're going to be obedient to the Word and obedient to the lifestyle of Jesus Christ? You are a written epistle, read and known of all men. So what is it when other things are happening within my life? And I know very well, we can go to Paul's teachings, I know very well that we could talk about the soul realm. I know very well we could talk about the second heaven. I know very well we could talk about the devil being cast out of the third heaven and the things and the warfares and the things that are taking place. Because maybe you stumble or maybe you stagger doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because maybe you have failed somewhere or fallen on your face doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. But what it means when you continue on in it and continue on in it and continue on in it means you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said a righteous man will get back up. Amen. You understand that? So what many times we get guilty of judging things in such a way, well, this man doesn't have the Spirit because of this. And it might be because he has the Spirit and God had to get him down there in the mire for him to get out of his haughty, lifted up, self-righteous attitude and spirit that he can walk in the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is humility. The Spirit of God is not this thing of the self-righteousness. Many times, brothers and sisters, we Pentecostals are very self-righteous. Many times, brothers and sisters, we that would proclaim to be Pentecostal are self-righteous. We that call ourselves holiness are self-righteous. Many of the people that call themselves the Brethren at Little Bethlehem, the Brethren at Christian Temple, many times say, well, this is the message of the revelation. Bless God, look at all these other poor heathens out there. Look at all these other religious people, and we get self-righteous and think that we're better. But bless God, I could look back to the days that I was out there and that I was in bondage, brothers and sisters, to religious and familiar spirits. And I was in bondage to those saints. And even though I had the Spirit of God and had the Holy Ghost, He led me out of those things and led me to the truth. And that's what He'll do when you have His Spirit, brothers and sisters. And the Spirit will hear the truth when the truth is given. Amen. And you will come forth and you will come out. You may be pecking around at the little Star Tina, so to speak, out there with the Baptists and the Methodists or whatever you might want to say. You might be pecking around with that, but when you hear the scream out of the Holy Ghost, that eagle flying over, you will find a relativity and you will come out of that thing. Amen. You will come forth and you will come out of that. I know that because I did it. I know that because there's others in here that done it, that were caught up in every different kind of religious culture and religious lifestyle that there is. I've seen the Baptists come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Methodists and the Catholics and the Pentecostals. I've seen them come and get their eyes opened up, brothers and sisters, the Apostolics, and get their eyes opened up. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what we have to do. We got to be careful what we're defending within our actions and within our life. We got to be careful why the blood is upon the mercy seat to weigh out God in such a way in the mercies. We got to be very careful, brothers and sisters, that we take the mercies and turn it into lasciviousness and continue on in error and continue on in a bad type of lifestyle. Because when that blood comes off, there's going to be an expose of the son of perdition. There's going to be an expose of those little allowances. There's going to be expose of those things. It's like I said a moment ago, yes, you could strip off. Yes, you could do what you want. You could live like you want, and you'll still get the goosebumps, and you'll still feel religious, and you'll still feel like you've got God. Yes, you'll still have scripture memorization, and yes, you could quote the Bible, and you could find fault with the preacher, and you could do all those things, and the blood is on the mercy seat, and you'll think that you're okay. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, there is a day of judgment. And the Bible said that the judgment begins in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you like this, that the judgment will come to you on this side. And if you're waiting for it on the other side, you'll have it on the other side. Amen. So I'm just going to say, brothers and sisters, that we want to be full of the Holy Ghost. We want to be full of the Spirit of God. We want to have the infilling of the power of God within our life, within demonstration of obedient lifestyle where the commandments of God are not grievous to us. Does it grieve you when the preacher preaches His holiness? Does it grieve you when He says you need to come out of the world and that unclean thing? Does it grieve you when He tells you to get out of your theme parks and to get out of your ritualistics and foolishness and all of those things? Does it grieve you when He tells you to turn off your sports and the filth of the immorality of that trash? Does it grieve you? You see, brothers and sisters, there's unclean spirits. There's unclean things going forth on a continuous basis. And we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit and discern the things that are not pure, that are not righteous before us. We want to be full of the Spirit of God. Say, Brother Rob, how? How do I know I'm not just religious? Brother Rob, how do I know that I'm just not religious? Because I could point out the exploits of religious people, brothers and sisters, that are so phenomenal and so great in this day and hour, in this world that we're living in. They've got gospel stations around the entire world and around the globe. And the Bible said the apostolate make twofold more the child of hell. And you could say, boy, there's great exploits, man. There is witness right there of the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. But it's like the African preacher that came into this church said. He said, you know, we looked at America as an evangelistic missionary country. And he said, you sent the people into our land to preach the gospel and to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you brought home witchcraft. And he said, you brought back these spirits. And he said, there's spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity. And we've had them right here in this church. And they go and sow strife and discord against God, the ministry. And the reason they do that, because they're full of the Antichrist and full of the devil. And they're not full of the Spirit of God. They've tasted of the heavenly gifts. They were enlightened when the Spirit of God came. They said amen when Brother Rob preached. They said amen when Brother George preached. They said hallelujah. They cried. They done all those things. But they lacked the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We got to have the infilling of the Spirit of God. Without His Spirit, we're none of His. And we got to know, brothers and sisters. And we got to press in. Again, as I said a minute ago, and looking for a place to close. Religious spirits, brothers and sisters. Religious spirits is the most difficult one to recognize. And the one that's got to recognize it is not the preacher. The preacher may recognize it in your life, but the only one that can kill that thing is you. You're going to have to get your eyes opened up, and you're going to have to see, and you're going to have to know. And you are going to have to recognize that thing, and you're going to have to mortify the deeds which would be of the flesh, the deeds which would be of that familiar spirit. And the thing is, many times where it comes difficult in your life, because so many times it seems like that you would be stopping what God was doing. I heard a man once say that came to Bethlehem. He says, you know, before I came here, I used to fast, I used to pray, I used to do all these things. I find myself not doing those things now. Is that a bad testimony? It could be. But what was his fasting and what was his praying? Brother George said many times people fast and at the end of the matter you got a hungry dog. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. It does make sense if it's not as unto the Lord. If it's just a religious thing. He said there was a woman there on the campground that fasted. I can't remember how many days, he said. And he says, you be careful when you fast. He said, because the devil comes around when you do that. That's why the Bible says fast and pray, fast and pray. It's one thing to put food away, but you don't pray and draw nigh unto God, the devil's going to come. But I can't remember how many weeks this woman fasted, profit or nothing. You see, brothers and sisters, there's religion. There's religious things that people do, and they accredit that to the power of God. And many times it's will worship. Many times it is that human spirit coming to a conformity of the Word. Now, if you want to read about that, and you want some Bible about that, I want you to open up your Bible at the beginning of the book of Acts, and over there around Stephen's time, and read about Saul. And you just read about his religious life. That was a man that wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man that had done greater exploits than you and I probably ever do. I'm talking about before his infilling of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about sitting under the feet of Gamaliel. I'm talking about all of his studies of the Scriptures. I'm talking about all of his attendances in the temple. I'm talking about his ministering in the temple and all of the things that he done. But it was all his dung. It was all nothing. It all profited him absolutely nothing. All of his religious activities made him persecute the church and kick against the pricks, the Bible said. And the Lord Jesus had to manifest to him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? He said, who art thou? And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Religious people, the same thing could be said to you today. Why dost thou persecute me? Brother George said when he would preach, he would hear the Word of God coming back at him from religious people and using the Word as some sort of a thing against him. You see, the letter of the law killeth. This Word of God, brothers and sisters, this Bible right here, is going to put more people in hell than it's going to give people eternal life in Christ Jesus. This Word of God right here, there's going to be more people in agony in the flames of fire for all of eternity where the gnashing of teeth and them chewing on one another is what this Word of God is going to do. More than it brings life to others. But that's the Word. Amen. And that's the Spirit of life. Many times, brothers and sisters, people will take the letter of this and they'll chew you up and they'll bang you over the head with it and they'll do all that and they have not received the Spirit of it. We're led by the Spirit, not by the Word. The Word is Spirit. But if it's just the Word alone without the Spirit, then it's the law. And it will kill you and it will destroy you and everybody around you, and you'll use it to destroy everybody around you. I ministered this morning by the Spirit of God. Amen. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, and it would appear that it would bring harm to what you call the religious church, but it brings life by exposing the son of perdition and the works of darkness and the works of an antichrist. If you would go into the New Testament and open up your eyes and read by the anointing and by the Spirit of God, you will see that that book of the New Testament is full of exhortation against the Antichrist and against these familiar and similar spirits all the way through. Beware, my brothers, beware, beware, beware of false doctrine. Beware of these. All the way through the Bible. All the way through. They dealt with it. And we're still dealing with it today. The early church dealt with it. Right here in the book of Acts in the early church. They were dealing with familiar spirits and similar spirits and sorcery and witchcraft. Write down some names for you right now. And I could tell you where to go to on your television sets and find these particular names of preachers. And I'm going to tell you that it's the Antichrist. And I could tell you that it's familiar spirits. And I could tell you that it's witchcraft and sorcery that they're preaching. And Jesus is mentioned and they got Him above the door. But people are given to that. You know why it's witchcraft? Because there's rebellion in it. And rebellion is witchcraft. And there's rebellion, brothers and sisters, in their messages to conformity to the Word of God. And their message is love and mercy. That's what their message is. God is mercy. God is love. And He is. But they don't give you the fullness of the message. God loves you just the way you are. I listened to a preacher the other day. God loves you just the way you are. That's a lie. God hates you the way you are. Do you understand that? He hates you the way you are. He hates perversion. He hates the form that you come in, the form of iniquity. The only thing when God loves is when He finds that spirit of truth and life within you. That's what He loves. The Bible said that He did love the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And He gave it for that could be changed. And that image is being buried and crucified and done away with. And He doesn't love that fallen image. That's why the Catholic Church is an abomination in the eyes of God for taking that fallen image and keep on hanging it up before the people. Brother Ed just gave me a report of a church that he used to go to. Man's supposed to preach the gospel and they got Jesus stripped off naked in their church now. Just like the Catholics. Why? Because they're all coming together and going to be bundled up in one bundle and one group. And people that are supposed to have come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in Christian Temple have broke fellowship with us and gone back to that kind of foolishness and going to sit in a church that's preaching Trinitarian doctrine and sit in a church that's got our God stripped off. What is it? It's not having the Holy Ghost. It's familiar spirits. When they come in our church and they raise their hands and they cry and do all that, it's familiar spirits. And it's proof when they left. You don't like that. But let me tell you something. That same spirit will do the same to you unless you get your eyes opened up and you start pressing your way into the things of God and into the kingdom of God. I've got a son that raised up there at Little Bethlehem for a few years. And look at him and his foolishness and his filth. So don't think it's beyond your household or beyond you. It's easy to look at me or look at my house and say, oh yes, and bring the judgments. What about to your own home? What about to your own self? About the foolishness and the allowances and the things and the thoughts that you let run rampant in your own head. Be you full of the Holy Ghost. Be you full of the Spirit of God. And yes, the Spirit of God is love. It's joy. Yes, the Spirit of God is love. And I'm not coming against that, but I'm coming against the way they perverted what they call the love of God is. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they perverted the love of God. And they say that He loves Esau. The Bible says, and it teaches, and there's a scripture, if I can quote it properly, but it says that when you call evil good, it's in Proverbs, and that you're wicked. When you call evil good, you're wicked. And when you think of some of the wicked works of the Antichrist and the son of perdition that's happening in the established churches of America and you call it good, then you're wicked. Let me tell you something. When you call it good when they build their little sports things on the churches and say, well, they're getting kids off the street. They would have been better off to have been out in the street and know that they were lost and know that they needed a Savior as coming into an institution that calls itself a church. And allows them to live like they want to live. I went by a Pentecostal Holiness church just the other day right up here by Thomasville and built a big gymnasium on the back of it. And I'm sure that the kids out there playing are in their dresses. And I'm sure that the boys are got their long sleeve shirts on. They ain't out there in their tank tops and their shorts. And if you believe that, then you got another thing coming. There's no holiness. It's left. It's departed. The Spirit of God is holiness. And the Spirit of God is departing America. And it's drawing back out of America. It is the light. The Spirit of God is light, and the light is drawing back, and the light's coming out, because gross darkness can't come to America until the light draws back. And yes, there's a scattered people along that's got the Spirit of life and the Spirit of light, and they're still there trying to eradicate darkness, and they're still there crying out against evil, and crying out for the Lord, and preaching a still small voice, preaching out there in the wilderness. Yes, it's still going forth, the gospel, but it is drawn back, and the door of grace is closing. And when it closes, they're going to be exposed of the conditions and the things that they are. And if they would listen to the preacher full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Spirit of God, they would make the changes now. Because when the expose comes and that light is removed and they're exposed in their darkness, it's too late. Because the Holy Ghost is gone. And it's taken up, and His Spirit will not always strive with man. And the thing is, there's people in that condition already. They say, what is the mark of the beast? There's people that's already taken it. They've already taken it in their head. You say, can you see it? Only with eyes to see. And they're twice dead. Their heads have already been cut off. The headship of Christ, they've been cut off from it. They don't have God. And they'll never find Him. They're dead and twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Thousands and thousands of people are in that condition in America today and throughout all of the world. Religious bondage, religious snakes and vipers and hypocrites. The ministers of Satan transformed into ministers of light. The ministers of Satan. Why did they put that in the Bible? Well, they're talking about the other churches. They're talking about the cults. They're talking about the ones in Islam. They're talking about the ones that preach in Muhammad. They're talking about the ones that preach Buddha. No. They said they transformed into ministers of light. That means that they're preaching the same thing that we're preaching in part. Satan comes in deception, brothers and sisters. He doesn't just come out. You know, these little fairy tales they teach the children, and he's got his little horns and his little red cape and his little pitchfork. You see, the devil has his way in that kind of teaching to get their mind somewhere else instead of looking for him where he's truly at. They teach the Antichrist in such a way of such an evil, wicked individual, which there is an evil, wicked thing in it, but he's going to come in such a shrewd perversion. He's going to come as one, as a minister. He's going to come as one to bring peace. When I break it down into the natural perspective of looking at this natural Antichrist that's going to come out of Persian country, I could say as such and explain some things. But I'm talking about the way he's manifesting today and the way he's manifesting now. He comes so shrewd. It would be easy for you to say he bangs on your door and calls himself a Mormon. It would be easy for me to say he bangs on the door and calls him a Jehovah's Witness. And most of the people in the Trinity churches or in the Christian churches would say, yay and amen, preacher, preach it. And they would say amen, they would say amen, they would say amen. But when I say that he's coming into Pentecostal realms, and he's coming into Baptist realms, and the Methodist realms, and the UPC realms, and I say that's where he's moving and that's where he's coming, then they bow up with you, and they draw up with you. And you see, when you do that, you cannot be an adversary against the enemy and against the devil. You're going to have to look and open your eyes and recognize where he comes. And let's leave the church out of it. Let's forget about the denominational churches, and let's look at our homes. And find where he moves and where he comes. And then when we leave our homes out of it, let's look at us as an individual. Amen. And again, as I've said so many times, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. Many times it's a spirit that sounds familiar. Many times it's a spirit that speaks. Many times it's a spirit that quotes the Scriptures. You might open up this Bible and you read and says, but when they believe. And you might read and say, that is God speaking. Is it? Can I read this and say this is God speaking? Can I do that? It's the Spirit that speaks. It's the Spirit that speaks. Because let me tell you something. I've known people that opened up this Bible and they read and say, well, this is God speaking to me. And they go and do what they read and they're out of the will of God. And totally miss God. Totally missed them. I shared a story about my pastor, Brother Pike. And he was doing something for God. He was off in Florida doing something for God and trying to do something to help the widows and the orphans. And God said, you need to get home now. And he said, no, this is more important for me to stay here. And the chastening of God came. He got thrown overboard off of his boat. And he said, okay, Lord, sometimes the day of adversity we need to consider our ways. This was a great man of God that was a Spirit-led man. This was a great man of God that gave his life to listening to that still small voice of God. And if it happens to him, could it happen to you? Oh, yes. Could it happen to me? Oh, yes. Does it happen to me? Oh, yes. Does it happen to you? Oh, yes. Do you see it always? No. Many times you think that you're so religious and off doing something for God, or you think that you're in the will of God. I remember sharing a story with where I put an engine in a widow woman's car. You know, true and undefiled religion, brothers, is taking care of the widows and the orphans. Didn't charge her a penny. Boy, bless God, I'm spiritual. Hey, look at me. I'm doing what the Bible says. And I walk in the presence of the man of God and he rebuked me. Where were you today when God had need of you? But I was doing pure and undefiled religion, Brother George. No, you wasn't. He needed you here today. And you think, oh God, what is it? You see, I took the Word of God and it was written and I read it. I quoted it back to the man of God. But it wasn't the Spirit of God. It wasn't the Spirit of God, was it? You see, there's a difference in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the Word is Spirit. But what I'm saying, if you just separate those two, there's just this word right here is dead if it doesn't have the Spirit of life with it. You could memorize it. I remember Brother George said one time, he said, you could memorize that Bible from front to back and be nothing but a walking devil. I thought, gosh, how could it be? It's because it takes the Spirit to bring life. It takes the Spirit to break that yoke of bondage. It takes the Spirit, brothers and sisters. So we got to find the Spirit of the Word. And when we find the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit. When we find the Spirit, it is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth. And it should be dwelling within our innermost being. And then we could say that we are full of the Holy Ghost. And when we are full of the Holy Ghost, that means we're so filled up to overflowing. There's rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being to the point that it's overflowing. And it's not just enough for us to walk in an obedient life to God. It's an overflowing that when people are around you and people see you, that they're convicted for their lifestyles and the things that they're doing, and they want to come to a conformity to God's Word. Peter's shadow healed him when he walked by. You understand? And the thing is when you are full of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit and power is going to overflow from you and run forth from you, and people are going to see the good deeds of the Father, which is in heaven in your life, and they're going to see the manifestation of God in the earth today, and they're going to see the power to mortify the deeds of the flesh within your life, and your action is going to change, your speech is going to change, your ideas are going to change, your lifestyle is going to change, and there's going to be something different about you. And the old things are going to pass away, and all things are going to become new. The old things of the old life, the old things of the old mind, the old things of carnality, the old things are going to be gone, and you are going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's how you know that you're full of the Spirit of God. And when you're evil surmising, and when you're into all fashions of immoralities and wickedness, and when you're evil, again, evil surmising or finding fault or sowing discord or strife and bickering, and when you have hatred and jealousies and bitterness and all those things within your life, that is a manifestation, brothers and sisters, of the devil within your life. And if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have room for bitterness. You don't have room for jealousies. You don't have room for evil surmisings and strife in your life. You don't have room for drunkenness in your life because you're full of the Spirit and there's no room for those things to come in. And when you keep on making the allowances for those things, and you're going to push that truth and all those things out, and because the blood on the mercy seat, the Spirit is still dealing with you. And the Spirit is still there. But are you full? Brothers and sisters, let's be full of the Spirit of God. Be in prayer. Can a spirit man full of the Spirit and been in prayer have those things happen? Yes. Brother Pike could share stories coming out of South America. Brother Jerry may have been with him. His brakes fell in his motorhome and running off down a mountain. And different things where the Holy Ghost moved in their behalf. But he could share the stories of rolling his cars over and sharing the stories. And yes, the Holy Ghost could be there to spare life. When we say consider your ways on the day of adversity, maybe Brother Pike, when he was driving through South Texas down there on 10 and 20 where they meet that split there, Pecos, Texas. Maybe he was had on his mind to get home. Maybe he had on his mind to go on home. But God had another way. On the day of adversity, consider your ways. The oil ran out of the oil pan on his motorhome. The engine seized up and locks down. And he says, okay, God, I'm considering my ways. You want me to hold a meeting right here in Pecos, Texas. And he set a tent, and the ministry of God went forth, and the power of the preaching of the gospel went forth. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes God has to allow things in our life to wake us up a little bit and to say, okay. And if that's the way God works in a great man of God's life, how much more so is He going to do that in your life? How much more so is sometimes He's got to wake us up and get our attention a little bit and say, hey, wake up! Hey, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you full of the Spirit of God? As Brother George said in that message, he said, I'm doing everything I can to get full of the Holy Ghost. I'm doing everything I can to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Are you doing that this morning? You won't do it in your carnal reason, in your carnal mind. You're not going to do it that way. You're going to have to seek after holiness, seek after righteousness, seek after the Spirit of the Word of God, seek after life, and surrender all. That's all He wants, is your life as a living sacrifice. He ain't got room for your ideas. There's no room in there for your ways. There's no room in there for your ministries. There's no room in there for any of that. It's Him and Him alone. What did he see there on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus only. That's the only one there is. Only one there's room for. If you have a ministry, it's Jesus only. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's Jesus only. If it's not Jesus only, then it's not the Holy Ghost. You say, what are you saying? Do you still live? Do you still manifest? Do you still exploit? Do you still make decisions? You know, it's a sad thing to watch young people start coming into adult. Let me tell you, I know people that are 40 years old, they ain't adults yet. I wish there was a magical little number that, boy, if they can get to this particular number, man, that they're an adult. I wish that there was a number that when they've been to church for so many years that they are a Spirit-filled individual, or that they are a one considered that could be utilized for the things of God because they've been in the church so long, but it don't work that way. I remember speaking with a man that had been preaching the gospel for 60 years. Man had been all over the world and been all over the country. And I sat with him with expectations and looked at him as an elder. I owed that to him. He was way much older than I was. And he'd done great things all around the world. A great Baptist missionary. And I respected him and honored him as such. But when we found fellowship in the Word of God and found fellowship or tried to find fellowship in the Word and in the Spirit, I found ignorance and darkness. And I found a man that had not grown up in the gospel. So see, it's not a matter of how many years you preached, or a matter of where you've been, it's a matter of God granting understanding and the Spirit of revelation to you. You know, if you would back up a couple pages where I was reading today, and you read about Brother Paul when he got his eyes open and the shucks come off, and a man being full of the Holy Ghost, it said straightway he went and preached. And you say, that's the way it is, Brother Rob. That's the way it is. You know, a man comes into the altars and he gets his eyes opened up. And I agree with you. Amen. 100%. But not every eye-opening experience is a miraculous, instantaneous thing. It said that when Ananias came and laid hands on him, it said that hour, that hour, that hour, that hour. It didn't say that moment. It didn't say that second. But it said that hour that his eyes become open that he could see. So you interpret that. I can interpret that for you. But let me tell you something. Sometimes it's like a little baby that's born, and when we think of understanding, it doesn't have understanding when it's born. Yes, it's human life. Yes, it's got the breath of life within its lungs. Yes, the little heart's beating. But you know, there's a time of indoctrination. And you start as a mother, and you start as a father, and you start as a parent, and you start indoctrinating and teaching that kid in the way that it should go. You start teaching that kid what's right and what's wrong, and what's safe and what's unsafe. And you start teaching. And one day that child will walk. in the understandings that you've instilled within their hearts and within their life. And it's the same thing in the spirit. When you've come to the understanding of the truth, or when you've come and you've been partakers of the ministry, when you have said the sinner's prayer, or when you have prayed and asked God to enlighten you and God to help you, yes, there is an eye-opening experience and understanding that's going to come to you. And yes, I'm not going to limit God into days or numbers or years in that. Yes, you could be like Brother Paul and God could bless you in such a way. And it's easy to feel and think that that's the way you are, but it'll be evident within your life when that light of understanding is within you, that you can go forth and eradicate darkness. Amen. It is very evident. You know, many of us as Christians, when we come to the experience, I know when I got born again, I was like Brother Paul. Man, I was zealous about God. I mean, you wouldn't have put me anywhere, brothers and sisters, and them people were going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was zealous. Paul stood before you and said that he was zealous about the things of God. He talked about that was before his conversion. But I'm going to tell you something. I was a zealous individual for God. I was the kind of guy, when I went to McDonald's and was going to pray for my food, I thought we may as well pray for everybody in there. Amen? And we would come from meetings and been out ministering and been out preaching the gospel, or been out in Pentecostal meetings and stuff. And I thought, you know, you all you poor folks here at McDonald's missed out on a wonderful thing tonight. And you all need to hear about it. And many times they got to hear about it. Many times I had the whole crew behind the counter at McDonald's coming to forward and leaving their stoves and leaving the places cooking to come hear what this crazy guy out in the front had everybody all stirred up about. You understand? I was zealous about God. I loved the Lord. I wanted to tell everybody about the good news of the gospel. You say, what happened to you, Rob? Did you backslide? No, I got understanding. Well, Brother Rob, I think that's the way you should be. I'll tell you something. There's something in my heart, brothers and sisters. I love to talk about God more than anything. There's something that's in my heart, and there's something, and I look and desire for that time of fellowship that I could help somebody or teach somebody. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I'm around you. I don't hear you doing it. Maybe there's not a drawing and a hunger there. You can blame it on me if you like, but let me tell you something. You put me somewhere in the presence of somebody that's got a hunger for the Word of God. And all it don't matter what's going on around about me, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to pour my heart out. And if it takes all night, if they're willing to listen, or all day or whatever it is, I will pour out my heart and I'll speak about whatever God puts on my heart and helps me in whatever kind of understanding He gives me. I love the Lord and I'm zealous about God and I'm zealous about the things of God, and I want to preach the Word of God. I want to teach the Word of God. I want to take this gospel into the world of darkness. And I'd like to take it out there, this light, and eradicate as much darkness as possible. And I need your help. And you need to be full of the Holy Ghost if you can help me. Otherwise, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost and not full of the power of God, then your help will be a zealousness, but then it dies out at the time that it's needed. You know, when you think of militant action and you think of military action, you don't want somebody that's all zealous to get on the battlefield, but when the guns and the bullets start flying, that they cease. That's no good, is it? That they quit or they run or they hide. And many times our experiences of being full of the Holy Ghost, or our experience of being godly, or our experience of being religious, might be whatever it seems like at the time that you really needed, that you lay down. Like I was in a no man's land for a season. Very awkward place to be, brothers and sisters. And the thing is that if we keep on hanging our world of what we know and what we think and what we perceive to understand within our own human reasoning, we will never come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to come to a place to help the preacher kill your world. The Bible said worlds without end, but you're going to have to kill that world of your first birth, that world of intellectual thought and mind, that world of your own exploits and deeds, that world of your own understanding of what you can do and the distance that you can go by what you are capable of. Because in God there is no limitations. And you are limited, brothers and sisters, in your religious activities, in your religious ways, and in your do's and your don'ts. You are limited until you come into the supernatural world of God of unlimited. And then you will get beyond the limitations of your intellectual mind and of your way of perception of the kingdom of God. And the only way that you do that is by mortifying the deeds of your flesh, of your thoughts, of your own mind and your own ideas and your own ways. Hard thing to do. I wish it was easy. I tell people when they want to, you know, talk about getting saved, you know, I hear people with their little, you know, salvation messages and this and that. And my salvation message isn't a message of, boy, you know, it's a bed of roses. It is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. There isn't any words of expression that I could express that if you are heathen and lost, that if you would come to the knowledge of the truth and get and to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ being your Savior and become born again, I cannot find audible words of expression of the greatness of a decision of such. I can't even begin to express the marvelous things that you will are about to enter into and the glorious things that you are going to taste of and be partakers of. I couldn't even begin to explain the beauty of eternal life and a life of God. But then yet, with all those wonderful things to say, I can say this. I say that you better pray and be filled with the Holy Ghost when you make that decision. You better put on the full armor of God and prepare yourself for battle. You better get ready for your adversary, the devil, which seeketh like a roaring lion to kill, steal, and destroy, and to devour. And you better be ready for war and ready for warfare as that prince of Persia and all of those things that are hindering the goodness of the gospel that are going to come to hinder you in your walk with God. Amen. But greater is He that is within you. Greater is He, the Holy Ghost, that dwelleth within your innermost being. Greater is He than all of the exploits of the adversary. So I'm not going to preach a doomsday message of woe unto you. I'm going to say that if you're playing games with God, yes, that Satan will make you think that you are born again and a child of God, and he'll do all those things, and you are just religious and bound up in religious activity and doctrine. But be ye full of the Spirit of God. You say, Brother Rob, how will I know if I'm full of the Holy Ghost? Well, if you're questioning, I'm going to tell you right now for an assurity, you do not have it. If you are questioning your infilling of God's Spirit, you do not have it. Because let me tell you something, when that life is down within you, it is burning from within your innermost being, and you cannot contain it. It is something that changes you. It's something that when you find yourself in a life of disobedience, that it is persecuting you from the inside. And it is burning fire that's burning those unpure things and that chaff out. If you are a person full of the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to say that you're walking in condemnation because it didn't come to bring condemnation. But I'm telling you one thing, it's bringing you to conformity and to an obedience to the Word of God. Amen. And when you're not obedient to the Word, then I would say that you might need to consider. I'm going to read a little scripture right here and we're going to close. I'm in Galatians. I'm going to just read right here. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law." I could back up here and say, brothers and sisters, if you are religious, it profits you absolutely nothing. You understand what I'm saying here? He's dealing with religious activity here of circumcision. "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." But faith which worketh by love. But faith which worketh by love. "You did run well. Who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? The persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself." But, that's a big word right there, isn't it? But, But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Is that a fruit of being filled with the Spirit of God? So that you cannot do the things that you would? But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. I could break that down, and I've done it. Adultery is not just you being married and having a relationship with another man or woman. James 4 talks about spiritual adultery. Friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. The Bible says that they hated him first. It says that they will hate you. And it says, why? Because they hated him first. And if you are full of the Holy Ghost, if you are full of the Spirit of God, if you are full of Jesus Christ, they will hate you. And you will not have friendship with the world because they hate you. They hate you because you have His Spirit. Fornication. You think of acts of, again, immorality and sexual perversion. But then yet many times, brothers and sisters, it can fall in so many other ways, in a spiritual thing: uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember the other night I made a statement? I said, brothers and sisters, take the things that are coming in your direction, these persecutions, these tribulations, these mishaps, these misfortunes, and all of these things, and turn them into opportunities to exercise the Holy Ghost within your life, to exercise the power of God, the power of overcoming. Don't you know that when the Lord Jesus was here, that many things come against Him, that He could show forth the power of God? Don't you know to be led before these people that are going to put you to death, the power to exercise over the smallest member in your mouth, to be silent, was an exercising of the power of God within His life? What would you be like if they were leading you for your testimony of Christ before people to stone you to death? Would you do like Peter before the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus? Who's He? Would you curse? Or would you have the power of the Holy Ghost? And I said, you take those misfortunes. You take that brother that's in your face that you feel like you want to rebuke. Or you take that sister. Or you take that individual and you say, you know what, I'm going to exercise God in my life now. You take that business dealing. Or you take whatever that situation is in your life and say, I am going to use this to show forth the Holy Ghost in my life. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you want to go read what that is, go read about it in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. It thinketh no evil. It thinketh no evil. You say, I got love of God. It thinketh no evil. It vaunteth not itself. It's not selfish, brothers and sisters. I got joy. Boy, Brother Rob, every time I get my rock and roll music on and I got it cranked up, man, I get joy. Man, I just want to wiggle a little bit, man, and I just get the feeling so good. That's not the joy of the Spirit that we're talking about here. That's the joy of the flesh. That's a temporal inspiration of temporal inspirational vibrations to your flesh that stir up those desires of the Antichrist and stir up those sexual senses of lust and perversion. And those five senses of the flesh, joy is beyond those five senses of the flesh. Joy is beyond the hamburgers and the cheesecake. Joy is beyond all of the things that stimulate your flesh. Joy is a spirit, brothers and sisters. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm talking about a joy unspeakable. I'm talking about a joy that we cannot put words of expression to. I'm talking about a joy that surpasses all of your intellectual understanding. It's a joy that surpasses the time when you was in the hospital and you seen your little child born and you thought, oh man, what's great joy. It's not, it's so beyond the joy that when you think that you got the death sentence and the doctor says it's all gone and cleared up, it's beyond that kind of a joy. It's beyond the joy of the 16-year-old getting their first car. It's beyond the joy that of the marriage night. It's beyond the joy of all those things. It is a joy that surpasses all understanding. That is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. It is a fruit of the Spirit that brings a joy that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a joy that when 10,000 fall at your right or 100,000 at your left, that you've got the joy of the Lord and it's in your strength, and you know that all things are working together for your good. It's a joy of the Lord that is going to move in your behalf in all circumstances of life. That's the way that we recognize the joy that comes in the Spirit of God. And a peace. It's a peace that when the doctors say you aren't going to live, it's a peace that say there's no hope. There's a peace that when they say that you can't do it, there's a peace that says you can't. And when there's a peace that says I could do all things. Again, when they're dying on your left and they're dying on your right, there's a peace in your heart. And this can't be brought forth to understand with words of expression. The only way that you'll understand that peace is when you're full of the Spirit of love and joy and peace of the Holy Ghost. Then you'll understand what that peace is. Long-suffering. Here's one that we all get to exercise once in a while, isn't it? You say, Brother Rob, how do I know I'm full of the Holy Ghost? Well, let me tell you, it takes the Holy Ghost to be long-suffering. You say, what is long-suffering? How can I be long-suffering? When they ask of you for your coat, give them your cloak also. When they want you to go that mile, go the extra mile. Are you long-suffering? Have you exercised long-suffering in your life? If you haven't, go to the seminary school and get you an ordination to be a preacher. And you'll go through the school long-suffering. Maybe. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Have you done that? Is there envy within your life? Jealousies within your life? Are those things manifest within your life? You say, can a man full of the Holy Ghost deal with those things? A man full of the Holy Ghost, that is the deal. He's dealing with those things. But those things are not overcoming him. Say, Brother Rob, can I get so full of the Holy Ghost that I don't deal with envy and I don't deal with strife and I don't deal with jealousy and bickering and I don't deal with lust and I don't deal with the spirit of fornication, adultery, and all those things? Let me tell you something. The more you get full of the Holy Ghost, the more that you will find those things coming against you in your life, and you will have to raise up against those things and hold a standard against those things by the power of God and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get nowhere in your walk or come to such a point that you're not going to deal with evil spirits and fallen spirits. Many times, brothers and sisters, the Bible again says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. Many times, brothers and sisters, people aren't even dealing with the spirit of the Antichrist or of the devil. Many times, their warfare and their struggle is just within their own flesh. Let me tell you something. When you take the five senses of the flesh, you say taste, touch, feel, sight, hearing. You take these five senses. You say the five senses of the flesh. And things could happen within those five senses of the flesh. And there could be things that happen within the realms of feeling and the things that happen in the realms of sight that motivate things that could be godly for exploits of God to glorify and magnify the kingdom of God. But then yet there's perversion. And perversion and perverted spirits come. You take a man that is given, or a woman that's given to perversion and lust. It's something that was godly given, but it was perverted out of measure to lust, to too great of a desire in those things or those things of activities. If we say and we speak about an appetite, Or we talk about a man can have an appetite. Yes, God made man, made women. We have an appetite. We should have an appetite for spiritual things. But naturally speaking, yes, we can have an appetite. And in this appetite, we could take and want to eat, for we can have strength to this body that we could be about the Father's business. If the Bible says labor that we have to give, or all of men's labors are for the belly and everything that they do, but there is a time that, yes, we have to eat. We can't ever get to the point of being so spiritual that we never eat until we are transfigured or translated out of this body. We say translated to transformated to transfigured. But let me tell you something. While you're still in this body, this mortal body, and it's an immortal spirit manifesting in this mortal body will have to be fed. But what I'm saying is there is a perverted spirit that comes, and it could be obesity. And the spirit of obesity come, and you get beyond the norm of eating. And it becomes a spirit. You ever seen the hogs in the... Some of you maybe have never had an opportunity to be out there on the farm and watch the hogs. And they'll root and fight, push each other away. If one gets trampled down, they'll eat it also and devour it. Brother Dell was sharing with me about his mother, spirit of obesity. Woman weighs 500 pounds, he says. Spirit of obesity. You can't get to 500 pounds without a spirit of obesity. Do you have to get to 500 pounds to deal with a spirit of obesity? You might be considered skinny, and a spirit of obesity could come to you. Brother Pike was speaking one time about coprophobia, and he was talking about people going out of their mind when they get confined into a tight area. And he said they just go slap out of their reason and go uncontrollably violent. And they said, how do you know that? He said, because I dealt with that spirit. But he said, I conquered it. Because he was full of the conqueror, the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I can tell you this as a minister, that I've dealt with many spirits that have come my way, that God let me see those things, for I could feel the infirmities of others. I've had spirits that have come, and I've had to deal with those things in a way and fight and conquer against those things in prayer and in authority that I'd never even dealt with or never even had a problem with. And I can tell you this is in the body of the Lord, that there are people that are strength in one area and weakness in another area. And where your weakness is, I have another brother that will pick that up. I have brethren that I could call on in so many things that are so great, but then there's other areas I can't because they haven't conquered certain things in their life. Those are the things that they need to recognize and deal with. Those are the very things that they need to see in their life. Say, you know what, I'm going to do something. Let me tell you something. And I know I'm keeping you a while this morning. It's not too bad. There's special callings in people's life, and they need to abide within those callings. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that we could do all things in Christ. And there's things, brothers and sisters, that I haven't done in my life that I said, man, let somebody else deal with that. Man, I just, you know, as a rule, couldn't do those things. That I just couldn't do, but I said, you know, God help me, and I could do things. I found myself dealing with even my mother as she's sick in a deathbed. I found myself dealing with things that I thought I could never deal with. I watched my grandkids the other day go over to Brother Ed's mother's family viewing. And the kids went over there and they walked up and viewed Brother Ed's mother and asked me some questions, took time to elaborate, saying, you know, this is when we talk about sleep and when a saint of God goes on, and this is what we call sleep, even though everybody else says death. And took the time as the children viewed and looked upon this body. Took a time to speak about positive things. But see, there was a time in my life when I was in the aviation business that we had one of the charter companies or whatever, one of the things we'd done was flying bodies. And I said, man, I'd never do that. There ain't no way you're going to put this dead guy in the back of my airplane and me take him anywhere. And it was something, and it was a spirit within me that God made me have to deal with. You know, that spirit left me when my pastor, Brother Pike, passed away. And for the family, they didn't want just anybody coming into the church. So I said, I'll take care of Brother George. So I had a key to the casket. And I would lock it and open it up and bring it, and I'd set them all up. And that thing left me. You see, it was something of a state of mind, brothers and sisters, that I had to deal with. That I had to deal with, for I could function as a minister. And I could function, even though as before this, I'd preached funerals and done many things. But there was something That was in a state of mind to me. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You ought to be more fear of that individual in the box when he was alive and had breath in their lungs, because then they're giving place to spirits. That's when you need to be more willing to deal with them. And this thing is just a state of thought and a state of mind. There ain't nothing there. Now, if we took that box and opened it up and put a bunch of soil in there and dirt and minerals and stuff and was getting ready to plant flowers in that box, and we call it a flower box out in the front, you wouldn't think nothing of it. See, it's just a state of mind. That thing that's laying within that thing is just a hunk of dirt. The spirit is already gone. It's left. And I know that we honor it, and I know there's things that we do to it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking in a way of trying to, you know, I believe that we need to honor the perspective of the thought and take care of people. We find it all through the Old Testament and different things, but the Lord Jesus did come along and said, let the dead bury the dead. And there was a reason. He was dealing with things and spirits. But what I'm saying, brother, sister, I find myself dealing with things in my own life that I say, you know what, I've got to get beyond this. I've got to go beyond this, and I've got to do these things. I didn't like nursing homes. People had ministries of going into nursing homes. I did not like nursing homes. I did not like to get around nursing homes. But you know what? Since my mother's been in there, this is a shame for me to sit here and testify this to you. And I'm sitting here saying about me the changes that Brother Rob makes in his life, but I'm challenging you in thought. No, I'm not exhorting you to get into nursing home ministry. I'm exhorting you in the way, what are those little things in your life that you're afraid of, or those little things that you say, I can't do, or those little things that would hinder you from maybe doing something for God? But I find myself in here praying with elderly people and talking with elderly people and comforting people as their loved ones depart or are leaving. And I find myself doing those things more so. It wasn't a fear of nursing home. It's just I didn't like it. I still don't like it. And I don't like hospitals neither. But I find myself in them a lot. But I don't like them. I don't like the smell of hospitals. I don't like the spirit that you find around hospitals. I don't like the spirit of the medical field and the medical practice. And I'll do everything I can to stay away from them. But yes, as a minister, I find myself going to them continuously, even though I've been accused of not. But I find myself in them an awful lot. Now, so there's things in the preacher's life that, yes, he's got to press over to get closer to God and to draw in to be more full of the Spirit of God. There's things in the preacher's life that he's got to do to overcome obstacles or things that would make him not as beneficial to the kingdom of God. But what about your life? What are the things in your life? Where are the weaknesses in your life? Where do you think that, well, you know, I do pretty good at this and pretty good at that, but this is where I stop at? I've watched many of you that are so faithful. So many of you are so faithful to church, so faithful in finance, so faithful in so many things. And I watch your lives and I see you dealing with things. And I enjoy it. Many times I just sit back and sometimes I'll whisper a prayer. Sometimes I'll say this, that. And I find you dealing with spirits in your lives, of spirits of inheritances. Spirits that you have to deal with. You know, I think of spirit of inheritance. I think of so many things that I was like. And when I got my eyes opened up, those were the things that I hated and despised. Even before I got my eyes opened up, there was things in my father that I despised. But I loved my father. But there was things there. And when those things come and deal with you in your heart and within your life, those things, when they come to you as an individual, a lot of times, because they're familiar, because we raised up around them and we've seen them, we think, well, this is just the way I am. I'm not accepting anything the way I am. I'm not accepting anything that's displeasing to God in my life. I'm not just going to say, well, this is what I inherited. I can't do nothing about it. Or I'm like grandpa, or I'm like dad, or I'm like this, and this is just the way it is. That's the thing that's the adversary that we can show and manifest the authority over within our life. I'm going to tell you something. If you would stop for a moment, brothers and sisters, and you'd look back at mom and dad's life for a moment and say, what are the things that I dislike about my mama? What are the things I dislike about my dad? And you think about those things, and I'll promise you one thing for sure, you're dealing with those things in your life, unless you have conquered them. Unless you have conquered them, and if you have conquered them, then I'm going to tell you one thing, that you are full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something, I've conquered many of them.
I'm testifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've conquered many things in my life, brothers and sisters, and some of you could witness to that. But let me tell you something. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost and full that I can continue to conquer and continue to conquer the things that are unpleasing to God that are in my life, that come through a spirit of inheritance or from a generational curse or that's passed down from generation to generation or things that I've learned or things that I just become that way. You know, you think, well, this is the way I'm. I've heard people say, well, this is just the way I am. You know, you're just going to have to love me the way I am. No, I don't love you the way that you are. I love you the way God intended you to be. And of inheritance or from a generational curse or that's passed down from generation to generation or things that I've learned or things that I just become that way. You know, you think, well, this is the way I'm. I've heard people say, well, this is just the way I am. You know, you're just going to have to love me the way I am. No, I don't love you the way that you are. I love you the way God intended you to be. And it is a travail and it is a warfare and it is a fight for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. And when I stumble and I stagger, be there to help me and encourage me and to pick me back up. I know the Bible says after the first or the second admonishing or whatever to depart, there is a time of separation. But I am going to tell you this, brothers and sisters. There's also what we just read, long-suffering. I'm not preaching that to you to be long-suffering with me. I've been long-suffering with you. I'm preaching that to you that, yes, you would have to apply it both ways. But I am saying this, brothers and sisters. Let's be you full of the Spirit of God and of the Holy Ghost. Let's press in into things and let's bring our evangelistic efforts and our missionary efforts home. And let's bring them to ourself. And you say, well, that's not the message of the gospel. You know, we're supposed to go out into all the world. Well, the Bible does say this. Let the kingdoms of our God and His Christ become, or the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, that He should reign forevermore. And that's talking about this outer garment of iniquity. That's talking about this right here. First, let the kingdom of this flesh, the kingdom of this world, become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. And when you could do that, then you're ready to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But you have to first conquer the kingdom of the flesh. I remember Dale said, you know, Brother Rob, I ain't had no great exploits in life. You know, this guy's dad built a great skyscraper, and this guy's done this, and this guy's done that. I've had no great exploits. I said, if you want to do something that hardly no man has ever done, conquer the kingdom of the flesh. If you can conquer that, conquer and learn to bridle the tongue. If you want to conquer something, if you want to get power and show and exercise power in your life, get the power over the tongue. And when you've conquered that and bridled that thing, you've done something that very few have done.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.